All right, that's probably plenty. Transformers, one of my all-time favorite cartoons growing up. And not just a random video. We'll come back to that. All right, if I seem kind of scattered this morning, I am. I am completely scattered. I woke up this morning and just knew that the sermon that I had written was the wrong sermon. It was not what I'm supposed to say this morning. And I've never, ever done this before, but thanks, dude. Well, I'm just going to put it down here. And I don't know what I'm about to say. I think I have some ideas, though. Let me start with the fun stuff. Got a really fun email this morning, and I wish they were here for us to be able to celebrate with them. But Jeannie Livingston and John Murray got engaged last week, and that is so fun. That's going to be really special. I'm awfully excited about that. And then I got a phone call from my dad. Well, I called my dad this morning. I called him to tell him, Dad is one. Like one, like a.m.? Like, no, it's 1 degree. And my parents live in Georgia, and my dad said, wow, I thought we might be as cold as you. It was 18 in Georgia. They got about an inch of snow yesterday, and about an eighth of that stuck for an hour. And so they canceled church today there. I said, Dad, with a wind chill, it's like negative something. Wow, that was kind of funny. Yeah. I got another email this week that was not so fun. I read it last night. And it probably is one of the things that convinced me that there's something else that I need to talk about this morning. This is an email. When I lived in California, I played. I was part of a basketball group. It was just a pickup game. We'd play about once a week, and you know, we met at this church gym, and there'd be 10 or 12 guys, and we'd just pick teams and play, and a lot of fun. I played there for maybe a couple of years before I moved out here. I'd been playing there for maybe 6 months, and starting to get to know these guys pretty well. And one day we're playing, and one of the guys is, you know, he's just kind of a step slow that day. You know, we'd been at it for about 30 minutes, and he says, you know what, guys, I need to sit down. I just don't feel right. Something's not right. He left and you know, set up some appointments with a doctor, and turns out he had a great big tumor right at the base of his skull. And this was about, it, I don't know, a year and a half ago or so. Shocking news. A great guy. He was a pilot, and he had spent fair chunks of his life volunteering, going down to various South American countries and flying missionaries around to various times when they needed to get somewhere and there weren't really roads. Just out of his, you know, just the goodness of his heart, just did that. He has two teenage daughters, and just a great family, strong Christian, dearly loves God, and a deep, deep faith. So they began treating the cancer pretty aggressively, and he got some pretty good reports for a while, and you can see where this was going, but the email that I got and opened last night said that they the latest test showed that the tumor had grown, and they had decided not to pursue any further treatment. They had gone ahead and signed the piece of paper saying, you know, no feeding tube, no extraordinary measures to keep him alive, and the doctor basically said, you've got 1 to 3 months to live. And, you know, just to think about a guy who was such a great guy, to think about his family who's going to have such a big loss, and the thing that struck me this morning was thinking about Of all the great things that he's done, he's shining brightest in kind of the last hours of his life. Just amazing to see the way that he's responding and basically saying, you know, I'm okay going. I'm okay saying this is the end. Because I know God is with me and I know where I'm going next. But it doesn't make it easy. It doesn't make it fun or comfortable or anything. So, thinking about, his name is Steve. Thinking about Steve, and then thinking about what we're doing right now. We're in the middle of a series, for those of you who are joining us. We're calling it our New Year's Resolutions. It's kind of our Covenant series is another name we're using. And what we're doing is we're saying, this is what we're about. As a church, this is the direction we're going in. This is what we believe God has called us to do and to be. And as I think about that, it just fits so perfectly with the life of my friend Steve, who is at the closing hours of his life, able to say, here is what my life is about. And to be able to say in that, it's okay to let this chapter close because of what his life is about. Let me kind of sum up the covenant. Let me sum up the New Year's resolutions, the direction that we're going, and what we've said so far. Basically, in answering the question, what's the point? What are we about? It's three things. Last week we talked about being made into a family, a community. That's core value number one. God has made us into a family, a community, the body of Christ, right here. God has woven us together into a family. That's the building block for everything we do. We are in this together. Today is supposed to be about kind of the second part of our covenant, which is God has made us into the image of Christ, but that's not finished yet. And that stack of papers is 8 pages of me saying basically this: God's intent for us is that we look like Jesus on the inside. That's God's plan for us. That is the Christian journey, that we be made more and more each day into the image of Christ on the inside. That's the second part of our covenant. When I say covenant, you know what I mean? We've talked about this a little bit. A covenant is basically an agreement that binds a relationship together. So when we say this is our covenant, what I'm saying is this is our agreement on how we're going to be the church. It's our agreement together. It's also kind of our agreement with God. God, we are going to follow you in this way because we believe this is what you've called us to. You have called us to be a family, and you've called us within that family to be transformed, to be changed into the image of Christ a little more each day. The third part of the covenant we enacted, actually, this morning. The third part of our covenant is that we are gifted and called to service. I'm not going to say a lot about that because we'll focus on that next week when we have the whole church here together with us. We're inviting everyone from downtown to come out and worship with us next week. Hope you'll come. And right after that, as soon as the worship ends, we'll have our annual meeting, which is where we just take care of some of the business stuff of our church. But at that point, we're going to basically talk about God has gifted every one of you for ministry. God has called you to be ministers in the world. In whatever you do, you are called. You have a calling. And you're called to serve in this community, too, this community of faith. this family. We'll talk more about that next week. But we're going to wrap it all together. If you've looked at my blog, and I know all of you have, well, okay, three of you have, there's an article on there right now that's basically saying, you know, what are these three things about? What's the purpose of being a community, having being changed into the image of Christ, and serving? It's about our mission. The point is that God has called us to go into the world and give the world a little taste of what he has in store for all of us. God has created this church with that one purpose. Go and give the world a little taste, a little glimpse of the kingdom of God. So, as I thought about all that this morning, and kind of between 9 and 10, you know, one of the things that I remembered is my own struggle in this experience of faith. I'd say genuinely and honestly that most Sundays over the past 10 or 15 years, I've walked out of church on Sunday morning with the feeling that would best be described by, is that it? Is that all there is? And as I've talked to people and served with people and gotten to know people, it's been so clear to me that there's an awful lot of Christians who are hanging on to their faith by a thread. They want to believe. They really do believe. But it just seems out of reach. It just seems not quite real. And it's hard to keep coming back, clinging to faith by a thread. That's why it's so important to me for us to be a community of faith that is desperately seeking Jesus in our midst, seeking to be transformed, seeking to wrap our arms around each other and carry one another in the hard times, and to encourage each other as we follow Jesus. Here's an interesting truth. This is kind of one of the things that I wrote about a lot in my sermon. When we come here on a Sunday morning, most of my life, I came to church on a Sunday morning as a shopper, expecting church to give me what I needed, what I wanted, looking for, okay, I want this. I want this feeling. I want this experience. I want this song. I want a good sermon. And when I don't get it, I'm frustrated and I leave, and eventually I go look for another church. That's not what God wants for us on a Sunday morning. We come here on a Sunday morning to be transformed. Do you approach church like that? As you're walking in from the parking lot, wow, what would that be like if, as we came in, our attitude was, God, what are you going to do in me today? How are you going to transform me more and more to look like Jesus? It doesn't matter how bad the sermon is. It doesn't matter what songs they sing. That's not the point. The point is, Jesus, shape me in here. Worship is transformation. Tomorrow, I think, is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Is that right? Tomorrow? I was thinking about that this morning. Melissa, my wife, was reminding me of it and thinking, you know what? There's a neat way to kind of think about that. Martin Luther King Jr., great example of a person who, not perfect by any means, had his struggles just like all of us, but that was a person who seriously pursued Jesus, being made like Jesus on the inside. And you know what the result was? The way he lived. Because he knew and experienced the love and the grace and the justice of God, he couldn't do anything but fight for that, for everyone. It's a little scary to ask God to change us, because you never know what that's going to lead to. But the other choice is to settle for a faith that the best you can do is just cling to like a thread and hope it doesn't break. We're not going to settle for that. We're going to be a church that is committed to asking Jesus to transform us, no matter what adventure it leads us to. There's a great little verse that I'm going to close with. It's from Galatians 4:19. And Paul, writing this letter to Galatians, he basically says, I am in the pains of childbirth, longing for Christ to be formed in you. I am in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I love that metaphor. Paul is basically saying to the Galatians, my desire for you, I mean my strong yearning, my ache for you is that you would be made like Christ on the inside. And he wants it so badly that the metaphor he chooses is the pain of childbirth. If Paul wants that so badly for the people of Galatia, I think we should probably want that for each other. So that's where we're going. We are going towards being a church that will not settle for less than being made in the image of Christ. That's a lifelong process. It never finishes, which is probably good news. I'm going to pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, real and present in our lives. Thank you for Jesus who came to the world to call us to you. Thank you for your love, which embraces us just as we are, but loves us so much that you'll never let us stay who we are. Thank you that you're great plan for us is that we would be made more and more in the image of Jesus. God, give us the courage to pursue that with all our hearts. Through Christ, amen.